here, and if you'll turn to Acts chapter 13, Acts chapter 13, we will start in verse 1. Now, in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, and as Kaufman states, that he felt like that both Simeon and Lucius were both of Cyrene. And then another spelling of Simeon is Simon, and that this is Simon of Cyrene, and the one that was compelled to carry Jesus' cross. And he has a little write-up about them, that his sons that Paul talks about in the book of Romans is Rufus and Alexander. And so these are very influential and important people, and these are prophets. So God is communicating directly through them. That's the definition of a prophet, that God communicated with the prophets directly in the past. And of course, after the New Testament was completed, all that was removed, as Paul explains in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. But anyway, so we had Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, and probably Simeon of Cyrene too, and then Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and this is the Herod that mocked and ridiculed Jesus and wanted Jesus to perform miracles for him, like he just wanted a show from Jesus, and Jesus never said one word to him. Jesus gave him no respect of any. So he gave him as much respect as he deserved, is what Jesus did to him. And here he just wanted a carnival show, and which Jesus, of course, gave none of that. That was not the purpose of miracles. The purpose of miracles is to prove that the person performing the miracles is from God, and so that their words could be trusted. That's the purpose of miracles, from the last verse of the book of Mark 16:20. And look who's listed as last, Saul. And Kaufman will mention in here the one that is mentioned last. He's the low man on the totem pole here, but he goes from last to first pretty quickly. About halfway through this journey, Luke of for everything at the first part of this missionary journey is Barnabas. Well, in fact, it's after they leave Cyprus. It was Barnabas and Saul, and then it gets flipped to Saul and Barnabas. He comes to the forefront. And but anyway, on this first verse, Kaufman wrote, "The group of men whose names appears here were very important due to their being not only teachers but also prophets. Both of these designations belong to the whole group mentioned here." So they were all teachers and prophets. So they were evangelists. They taught people continually, but they were also prophets. God spoke directly to them. Barnabas heads the list here. He was the uncle of John Mark, who wrote the book of Mark, and a brother of Mary, whose home was the scene of Peter's reunion with the congregation mentioned in chapter 12. And so that was the home. It went to John Mark and his mother's home, Peter did, as soon as the angel released him from prison. Now, Simeon, if the phrase of Cyrene may be understood as a modifier of both Simeon and Lucius, who is named next, it would add probability to the thought that this man is the same as the Simon of Cyrene who bore the cross of Jesus and was the dad of Alexander and Rufus. Niger means black, but there is no greater necessity for making this term a description of Simeon's physical appearance than there is for alleging that surely temple black is black, this being one of the most common names in history. So Kaufman felt like that they called him Niger because that was his last name. That was his surname. So he was Simeon or Simon Niger or Simon Black, that was his surname more instead of his a description of his physical appearance. Now, about Menahem. The Greek word translated as brought up is not found elsewhere in the New Testament, and the meaning is somewhat unclear. Scholars list three possible meanings. First, Menahem's mother had been Herod's nanny. So that's a possibility that his mother was Herod's nanny, and then he was raised with Herod because of that. Two, Menahem had been brought up as Herod's foster brother. So it may have been that the king had adopted this Menahem, and so he was raised with him that way. Or three, Menahem had been a playmate of Herod. So maybe they were schooled together in some way. But regardless, they were raised together, they played together, and boy, did their life arc do 180 degrees apart from each other. One a righteous Christian, the other one ridiculing and mocking and persecuting the Messiah. In any event, a very close connection with Herod the Tetrarch is indicated. Herod, under the Herod under consideration, was not Herod Agrippa I, who died in chapter 12, but rather Herod Antipas, the Tetrarch of Galilee. It was this man who was responsible for the death of John the Immerser. This is the Herod who mocked Jesus before he was crucified. What a contrast in these two men who were raised together. The one a valuable leader in the cause of Christ, the other a ruthless enemy of the Messiah. Then you have Saul. Luke's placement of Saul at the end stresses the relative importance of these men at the beginning of the first missionary journey, enabling us to see more clearly the dramatic rise of Paul as the greatest missionary of the New Testament times, or of all times. Now verses 2 and 3. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. As they ministered has reference in all probability to the day-to-day responsibilities of those who would be workers in the Lord's kingdom, accompanied on this occasion by fasting, dearly indicating that teaching others is itself a service to the Lord. It is obvious that this direct message from the Holy Spirit was given either to Simon, Lucius, or Menahem, perhaps even to all three. We do not know if the Holy Spirit specified the route they took or not. It is very likely that many details were left to be decided by the prayerful best judgment of the missionaries, as it has been in all ages. Barnabas, a native of Cyprus, would naturally have recommended the evangelization of his native land, and it is no surprise that their travel to Cyprus was first on the list. And verse 4. Let me see. You know what? This is a good place to stop. We'll stop here in verse 3, and we'll, Lord willing, we'll pick up with verse 4 next week.